Hey everybody, happy Friday. As usual on this Friday for our morning devotions, we're gonna look at a psalm. And so today's psalm is found in Psalm 59. So feel free to have this open in your own Bible if you'd like. I'll be reading this for us. This is Psalm 59. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For behold, they lie in wait for my life. Fierce men stir up strife against me. For no transgression or sin of mine, O Lord, for no fault of mine, they run and make ready. Awake, come to meet me and see. You, Lord, God of hosts, are God of Israel. Rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Spare none of those who treacherously plot evil. Each evening they come back, howling like dogs and prowling about the city. There they are, bellowing with their mouths, with swords in their lips. For who, they think, will hear us? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You hold all the nations in derision. O my strength, I will watch for you. For you, O God, are my fortress. My God, in his steadfast love, will meet me. God will let me look in triumph on my enemies. Kill them not, lest my people forget. Make them totter by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouths, the words of their lips, let them be trapped in their pride. For the cursing and lies that they utter, consume them in wrath. Consume them till they are no more, that they may know that God rules over Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. Each evening they come back, howling like dogs, and prowling about the city. They wander about for food and growl if they do not get their fill. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. As it says in the introduction to the psalm, this is another one of King David's psalms written while in a state of despair and distress. Specifically, it says that this is a psalm written when King Saul, sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. As a quick refresher, King Saul sought to have David killed, and one of his attempts to do so came in 1 Samuel 19. Here we read that Saul had messengers sent to David's house to watch him, but David's wife, Michal, helps David escape out the window and covers for him. As you can imagine, this was likely a very distressing time, a fearful time in David's life, and this psalm reflects those sentiments. He asks God to save him from his enemies, to deliver him from the works of evil. He tells of men who lie in wait for his life, even though, as he says in verses 3 and 4, he has done no wrong. David describes these men as howling dogs prowling about the city, bellowing with their mouths, looking for things to devour. But as is the case with many of his other psalms, David is able to keep his head on straight. Despite the very difficult circumstances, David remembers and knows that God is greater than his enemies and greater than the situations that he's going through. He says in verse 8 that God laughs at them, meaning to God, these evil men aren't a threat. They're basically a joke. And David describes God as his fortress who will lead him to triumph over his enemies. As it has been the case for many of our devos on these psalms every Friday, it's important for us to remember who God is. That whatever situation we're going through, that we remember that God is greater and he's able to overcome. And so if you're in a particularly difficult or stressful time, I do hope you can remember that God is with you, that he's greater than whatever it is that you're going through, and that you can trust him. But in addition to that, I think there's something else I'd like to point out about this passage, and it can be found in verse 13, and then a little bit later on as well. David says, consume them in wrath, consume them till they are no more, that they may know that God rules over Jacob to the end of the earth. I don't know about you, but sometimes we can read these psalms and just stop at my first point about how God can rescue us from our troubles. And of course, I still believe that's true, but if that's where we stop, we'll have a limited picture of who God is and what it means to follow him. You see, as followers of Jesus, we're not meant to see God as simply the guy who saves me in times of trouble. It's a very me-centric way of viewing God, not to mention a very me-centric way of living life in general. David states that he wants for all to know that God is king, not only over Jacob, meaning Israel, but the whole world. In other words, David's not looking simply to be saved, but for everyone to see and know God, to know who's truly in charge, to declare his might, that all would see God and know him. And the implication here is to worship him through this process of him being rescued. You see, the point of our lives isn't to just live a comfortable life, get to do what we want, and use God as we try to get towards those things. Rather, it's to worship God and to point others to him in the process. Because when the whole world knows God and turns their attention to him, then all will be right in the world. The very basic reason why evil and violence and corruption exist in this world is because much of the world is living for the self rather than for God. And so we see, again, David's desire is not simply to be rescued so that he can be comfortable and live his life with his wife, Michal, and not have to worry about this or that kind of thing. It's not simply to be saved, but his desire is for the world, people to know who God is. And I think we see that implication at the very end of the psalm as well. In verse 16 and 17, when he talks about singing of the strength, singing aloud in the morning, singing praises to God. I don't think that this is just purely just on his own in the quiet of his room. It may be, but I think the fact that it talks about in the morning, just for all of this to see and to hear, speaks of his desire to declare God's greatness, for people to know God and worship him as the one who saves, as the one who is good, as the one who is greater than all evils and forces in this world. And so today, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, I of course still want to encourage you to bring that before God, to come before him in prayer and worship, and remember that he is your refuge. Remember that he is much bigger, stronger, and greater than whatever it is that you're going through. However, as you do so, I want to urge you to not only think about your own rescue, not only about how you can just get out of this sticky situation, about how you can vanquish whatever enemies that you may have around you, but about how this can be a way to show and declare to the world around you that our God reigns. Prayerfully consider how this situation and how you respond to the situation can be a way to point others to God. And of course, even if you're not going through anything in particular in this season, let's still consider how we can proclaim God to those around us. Let's testify of his goodness. Let's have our worship be a reflection of our God and be a means of pointing to him. Let's consider how the ways we go out, ways in which we go about our days, how we conduct ourselves, whether at home, at work, at school, how we respond to various situations with our coworkers, our friends, our family members. All of these things can be a means of letting the world know that our God rules here in Boston and to the ends of the earth. Let me pray to close our time. Father, we thank you that you are a God who saves. We thank you that you are a mighty refuge to those in need. We thank you that you are so much greater than any adversaries we may have, any situation we may be going through, and that, Lord, that you are readily accessible to us. We can turn to you and you're right there. God, we thank you for all of these things. Father, we want to be a people who come to you in our times of need, but we don't want it to just end there. We don't want to be a people who see you as just kind of this person who comes and saves us from our difficult situations. We can just call upon as if we're just ringing a bell to get what we need. You know, we don't want to see you like that. That's an incorrect way to see you. That's a wrong way of understanding our relationship with you. Instead, Lord, we want for everything, every part of our lives, everything we do, to be a means of pointing to you. And of course, Lord, the way that we call to you, and the way we respond once we are saved, I pray that all of these would be a means of showing the world your greatness, your goodness, your love to us. And even if we're not going through anything in particular, I pray that the way that we go about our day today, our work, our school, our relationships, even just our attitudes when it comes to things. Lord, we pray that all of this would point to you, that all would know that you reign, Lord, that you are great and high above the earth. So, Father, thank you thank you that this is who you are. We pray that all would come to know you, Lord. Thank you for this time that we've had today in your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name.